New Testament reading this morning comes from Luke 15. One day, when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. "This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. What do? You leave the 99 sheep in the pasture and go looking for the one that got lost until you find it. When you find it, you are so happy that you put it on your shoulders and carry it back home. Then you call your friends and neighbors together and say to them, "I am so happy I found my sheep. Let us celebrate." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins loses one of them. What does she do? She lights a lamp, sweeps her house, and looks carefully everywhere until she finds it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says to them, "I am so happy I found the coin I lost. Let us celebrate." In the same way, I tell you, the angels of God rejoice over one sinner who repents. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, help us to see you. Lord, help us to hear you. Lord, help us to call out to you when we are lost, and to reach for you, who is already reaching for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jennifer. That's one of my favorite songs. Glad you were here for us today. I think my favorite quote about being lost comes from Daniel Boone, the frontiersman. Someone once asked him, "Daniel, have you ever been lost?" He scratched his head and said, "Lost? No. But I was mighty bewildered for about 14 days one time." None of us like to admit we're lost. None of us like that sinking feeling when you realize that not only are you not where you want to be, you have no idea to get there from here, and you don't know where here is either. So how can being lost become a blessing? I hope we'll figure that out together this morning as we look at our own experiences of being lost and found, and at God's response to our lostness. Notice, today I said we. Today I'm going to ask you some questions that are not rhetorical. In other words, I want you to answer me back when I ask these questions out loud, not in paragraphs, but sentences, and not the same two or three people all the time, so that we can bless each other with our sharing and with our listening. So here's the first question. Few people answer this. How do you get lost? You don't listen to your wife. We're coming back to that. All right. Jeremy? You get off track? You lose your way? Google drops the signal. When the man doesn't use the GPS. Yeah. When don't pay attention. Anybody else? When the clouds descend while you're up on the mountain hiking, it's a different place, isn't it, when the clouds come down. Anybody else? When you try to feel your way around. Did you say feel or feel? All right, somebody said the one first one that came to my mind, and that is we get lost by not paying attention. We've all done this. We're talking to somebody, or we're listening to some music, or we're lost in our thoughts, and we look up and we recognize we have no idea where we are. We don't know if that exit we were trying to take is in front of us or behind us. We don't know if we've missed our turn, and we look up and we realize the street is by a different name, and nothing is going to help us. You look on the trail and you think, why am I going uphill when I should be going downhill? We get lost in life that way too. We aren't paying attention to what's happening around us, and suddenly nothing looks or feels right. We haven't listened to the messages from our family, our friends, from our bodies, and that still small voice screaming in our head. And suddenly we realize we are not where we want to be. We are lost. We also get lost by making poor choices. When I told Ann I was preaching on being lost this weekend, she gave me a look. First she said, shouldn't Melissa be preaching that sermon? And then she looked at me again, and I knew that if I didn't tell this story, she was going to come over here and tell it herself. The closest we ever came to getting a divorce was a month or so before we got married. We were headed back to Louisville after a round of wedding showers at our home churches in Georgia. And it was too late in the day to make it all the way back to Louisville, so we were going to spend the night with friends of my family in Nashville. And Ann was following me in her car. Now you should know, this is in the days before GPS or MapQuest or Google or even cell phones. Now, I have a really good sense of direction. I rarely get lost. But at the time, I would have said, I never get lost. I also have a very good memory. Once I've been someplace, I can almost always find it again. When I was 24, I would have said, I can always find it again. The Ricks lived just off the interstate, and I was sure I could find their house from the exit. After all, we had stayed there for several days when I was 10. I failed to take into account that it was dark when we got to their exit, and we drove around and around and around looking for their house. And every once in a while, I would stop and get out and run back to her car and say, I think it's just around the next corner. Did I mention that Ann's car didn't have air conditioning? And it was May, and all we'd had to eat that day was mints and peanuts and cake. After an hour, she convinced me that if I wanted to get married, I had to stop and call and find out how to get to their house. We were close, but I had no idea how to get there. Getting lost in life is that way too. Sometimes we get lost when we make poor choices. We underestimate the difficulty of the journey, and we overestimate our ability to navigate it. We don't take into account things that are out of our control, like sunset or clouds, and we fail to do things that we can control, like ask for help. We get into a situation too deeply before we realize it's beyond our capacity to get out. We take on tasks beyond our ability, and we're afraid to admit it. We get caught up in the excitement of exploring new ground, and we fail to see the danger that surrounds us. One poor choice I want to mention especially is following the wrong person. Sometimes we get with the wrong set of friends, and we begin to imitate their behavior and go where they go, even if it's not to places we would normally want to be. We've all been there and done that, and hopefully don't want to go back. But most self-destructive behavior for adolescents and adults doesn't start with conscious decisions, but with a desire to be liked, to be accepted by other folks. Even older and supposedly wiser folks get into serious trouble by following the wrong person. The collapse of the economy back in 2007 was sped along by people who were doing just what everybody else did without stopping to ask if it was a good idea. Whether it's cutting corners, not quite telling the truth, or doing what we know is wrong because it's what it's expected from our boss. When we go along to get along, we lose ourselves in the process. There's another way that following others can get us lost. Melody Beattie writes in The Language of Letting Go, "I used to spend so much time reacting and responding to everyone else that my life had no direction. Other people's lives, problems, and wants set the course for my life. Once I realized it was okay for me to think about and identify what I wanted and what I needed, remarkable things began to take place." Sometimes we get lost trying to make other people happy, in picking up other people's messes and trying to solve other people's problems. We lose our identity, our purpose, and our health when we fail to set healthy boundaries about our responsibility for other people. Second question: how do you know when you're lost? When you're dark and it's stuck in the mud. Sometimes you don't. When everything starts to look the same. When you've exhausted all the possibilities that you thought you could try. When you can't trust yourself. When someone tells you you're lost. Yeah. Anybody else? You keep seeing the same thing over and over again, and you think, have I passed that building 3 or 4 times? You haven't gotten to your destination, and you're thinking, we should be there by now. It was only supposed to take 30 minutes, and we've been driving for 1.5 hours. You don't know which way to go. You look in every direction, and no choice looks any better than any other. There's nothing that seems to indicate that this way or that way is a better way to go. And when we get lost in life, we find ourselves paralyzed mentally and emotionally. We can't think. We're not sure what to feel. We're just stuck. We don't know what steps to take. We don't feel that we can move forward, and we don't feel we can retrace our steps. No path looks like the way home. Every attempt just seems to lead us in circles. We lose momentum, we lose confidence, and we lose hope. All right, for this question, ladies, hold on. This is just for the men. We'll come back to you, okay? Got that? All right, guys. How do you get unlost? Looking at a map?
Ask for directions.
Reroute? Oh, Caleb, you blew it there, man.
Ask for what?
Phil. You safely arrived. Okay.
You say we have arrived.
Okay. You choose a new destination. That's good. Any other guys? Talk to different people.
You admit you were wrong.
Oh man, that's not on the list, David. Come on. Gotta take one for the team. All right. Here's some things I remember vaguely from Scouts. One is you orient yourself. What are some landmarks? What are some things that don't move? There's the courthouse. There's Cinderella's Castle, if you're at Disney World. Or there's Mount Pisgah, or the North Star. Or you may orient yourself to things that move in regular patterns, like the sun moves from east to west, water runs downhill. In life, we can ask ourselves, what are some things that I know to be true, no matter what? God loves me. I'm a child of God. I have worth and value in God's eyes. God is at work in my life and wants me to have a life that's full of love and joy. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Sometimes we can't remember chapter and verse of Scripture, but we can remember the truths that are there, that are deeply within us. And sometimes we can remember a song better than we can a particular Scripture. I remember one time when I was a senior in college, one of my friends was going through a really, really hard time, and he couldn't quite figure out what was going on, and he wanted to talk, and so we talked and we talked and we talked, it seemed like for hours. And finally figured out that behind all the things that were bothering him, the thing that was really bothering him the most was he wasn't sure if his faith was strong enough. He wasn't sure if he could really count on whether or not he was believed enough to be a believer, to go to heaven, to be counted as a Christian. He just felt like he didn't know if he loved God enough or if God loved him enough. I'm just a college student, you know. I think I had a 45-minute peer counseling workshop once, but that runs out real quick. But this tune came into my head. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 1 Timothy 1:12. King James Version, which I never would have remembered. But it was there in that song that I remembered that the scripture says, I know who I've trusted, and I'm sure he's going to be able to hang on to what I've given him until the very last day. So we were able to talk about that it's not up to us to hang on to God. God's got us. And we can trust him no matter what. Psalm 42 that we read earlier in this scripture expresses the longing of God for God of those people who feel lost and cut off and far, far away from not only God but the people of God and worship. They're being mocked for their faith in God. They're being asked, you know, where is this God you keep talking about? And they're beginning to wonder if God has abandoned them. Says in verse 9, to God, my defender, I say, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on suffering from the cruelty of my enemies? I'm crushed by their insults. They keep on asking me, where is your God? Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? But it ends with these two lines. I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Savior and my God. Despite how terrible they felt, despite how people were pushing back at them and telling them that they had a God that didn't count, they remembered, yes, God is faithful. The psalmist remembers that God's been trustworthy in the past and will save him once again. So we can remember those biblical landmarks. Hopefully, we can also remember some truths from our own personal life that my parent or my spouse or my friend or my church loves me. We might remember, I do have some gifts that I can use in this situation. There's some things that I know how to do that I can apply here. And then you can add to that some patterns that you've observed in your life. My parent or my spouse or my friend or my church has been dependable and has helped me through before. And I can call on them. When I got lost before, doing these things helped. And when I follow that person, I get lost. So orient yourself to those spiritual and relational landmarks in your life. Those things that you really know are true, and they will help you find your way. Another way to get unlost is to find a trail. Look for a route through the woods that other people have used before. A lot of times we get lost because we take a shortcut. Or we're going to make a new path through the woods. And if that doesn't work out, we need to have the humility to realize that the reason why that trail is there is other folks have gone before us and they figured out that's the best way to get from here to there. Yes, it's quicker to walk straight down the mountain. But stopping at the bottom is no fun. And the same for going up. You can go straight up the side of that mountain until your knees give out. Look for a well-used trail. Stay with it. When we get lost in life, we can stop and ask, how have other people solved this problem? What routes did they take? What tools did they use? And how can I find out? Which leads to, and ladies, this is your chance. You've been wanting to say this since I got started. So all together, what do we do to get unlost?
Ask your wife.
For directions. Not what she thinks of you. Not what she thinks you ought to have done before. But stop and ask somebody for directions. Because she's already looked it up. I don't know why this is so hard for us. I don't know why, especially for us guys, but we really, really don't like to ask for directions. Maybe it has with this something to do with this idea that we're all Daniel Boones and we want to find the way on our own. We're capable and we're self-sufficient in the wild. Maybe because it seems like failure when we admit we're lost. Maybe it's because we're afraid to trust another person with our journey. You know, there's some truth to that. Former New York City police officer Edward Conlin wrote Blue Bloods, writes, "One time I had to work Shea Stadium for a Mets-Braves game, and Atlanta pitcher John Rocker had recently given an interview when he denounced all New Yorkers of all colors and preferences. And I was out there assigned to the parking lot where numerous out-of-town drivers asked me for directions to various highways. When my first answer, I have no idea, seemed to invite derision and debate, I revised my answer to take the first left. For all I know, those people are still out in Queens." So be careful who you ask for directions. But more importantly, pay attention when you ask for directions. Tim, can you run that clip?
Come back. Tell me what's going on. What should I do? Give me a signal. I need your guidance, Lord. Please, send me a sign. Oh, what's this Joker doing now? Okay. All right. I'll try your way. All right. Lord, I need a miracle. I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please reach into my life. What the? Hurry up. I got it.
We just don't pay attention sometimes when God is trying to talk to us. When we're lost in life, we don't want to ask directions because, yes, it seems like failure to admit that we're lost. And yes, we're afraid to trust another person with our journey. But mostly it's because we want to be in control of our own direction. We want to be able to make all the decisions. We want to find our own way, even if it means getting and staying lost. And all the while, God is trying to get our attention. The good news of the gospel is that we don't have to stay lost. You learn in Scouts that when you're really and truly lost, stay put. Find a way to signal where you are and be still. Wait for someone to find you. As a scout, you know that somebody's going to miss you. And the other scouts will start looking for you and they won't give up till they find you. That reminds me of one of my favorite stories about the two men that were shipwrecked on an island out in the middle of nowhere. And one man was busy. He was trying to, you know, build a boat and build a bonfire and make out, you know, SOS in rocks on the beach. And the other guy was just sitting there, you know, looking at his fingernails right there. And the first guy says, "Come on, you got to do something. We're shipwrecked on this island. We got to do something to make sure we get saved." The second guy says, "I make $1 million a year, and I tithe. My pastor will find me." That's a commercial from Stewardship and Finance. Just remember, there are other benefits to tithing. So as members of a community of faith, we know that there are folks who will miss us. There are folks who worry about us when we get lost, and will stop at nothing to help us find our way home. So stop struggling so hard. Stop running in circles. Let folks know where you are and allow them to come help you and get you home. But there's more good news. We call folks who have not found Jesus as their Savior the lost. And we tell the story of the prodigal son who came to his senses and returned home to be welcomed by his father. And there is great truth in that. But that's not the whole story. Because long before we even know that we need to find Jesus, he's looking for us. Jesus told us that he came to seek out and to save the lost. He told us about the good shepherd going out and looking for the single lost lamb, even when there's 99 safe. He told us it's not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. Jesus told us, "I've come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness." If you're lost in life, God is already looking for you. Not because God doesn't know where you are, but because he wants you to know that he misses you and wants you to be with him more than anything else. When I was about 6 or 7, I was with my family at Busch Gardens in Tampa. And we were in one of those long zigzag lines waiting on a ride. You know, the line that's supposed to make you feel like the line's not as long as it really is. And I was tagging along behind my dad, who was wearing his favorite light blue shirt. And this went on for what seemed to me like days, just walking along in the line. And then I thought of something I wanted to ask my dad. So I reached up and I tugged on his shirt. And when he turned around, it wasn't him. It was some other man wearing a light blue shirt. And I was terrified. My throat tightened up and my heart started pounding and I started to cry. I was lost. Where was my daddy? How was I going to get home? Would I ever get home? And just then, daddy came up behind me and picked me up. He'd been there all along. He'd even seen me start to follow the wrong person, so he followed right behind, and he'd been calling my name in the crowd, but I just didn't hear him because of the noise. I was lost. But then I was okay because I was found. We learn a lot when we get lost. We can grow as individuals and as people of faith. We can learn how to pay attention to our choices and pay attention to our surroundings. We can rediscover those landmarks in our life that never change. We can learn even to ask for and to listen to directions. We can be reminded that we are loved and we are missed. But the greatest blessing of being lost is being found. If you're feeling lost today, Be still. Listen. And look around. Your Heavenly Father is right there behind you, calling your name, reaching out to pick you up and hold you close and carry you home. Let's pray. Lord, we were all lost, and now we're found. Thank you for that grace. Thank you for that truth. Help us to be still long enough to know it's true. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.